A well-known preacher and theologian, Tony Campolo, repeated so many times the words to a sermon he had once heard that they are words not easily forgotten. They have been scorched into my mind. They have seen me through some dark and sad days, and they have given me hope. The words are these: it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Campolo talked about the African-American church to which he belonged and its preacher who truly expressed the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and these unforgettable words: it's Friday, our Lord is dying on a cross, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, Mary is crying her eyes out, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, evil has taken charge, but Sunday's coming. So here we are this Sunday morning, worshiping in the Church of Jesus Christ, because we are Sunday people. We are people of the resurrection. We are people who know what it means to experience life and to know it abundantly. So here we are in this wonderful, happy season of the year in which we begin to remember and list once again the many, many reasons that we have to be thankful. This time of the year in which we are anticipating gatherings of family and friends around the table. This season of joy as Christmas quickly approaches. And for all who believe in Jesus as the very Son of God, we recognize that the goodness of life is real for us because we are Easter people. Sunday has come. However, and it is a really big however, some of us have not been experiencing Sunday recently, but are living on Saturday instead. Can you picture that Saturday between the Friday of the crucifixion and the Sunday of the resurrection? In the last 2,000 years, that was the only day when literally not one person in the world believed Jesus was alive. The terror of that terrible Friday was over. The beatings, the cries for help, the sound of nails pounded into flesh and wood. Now there is just silence. The Roman soldiers had disbanded. The crowds were gone. Jerusalem was quiet. Jesus was in a grave, dead, absolutely dead. The disciples and the women who deeply loved Jesus woke up to that quiet Saturday morning. Now what? What will they do now? Why, God? Why this? They plead in prayer. Where is God when they need him most? It's Saturday. Every one of us has experienced the loneliness and the hopelessness of living a Saturday. This is not Sunday, but it isn't Friday either. Pastor John Ortberg writes that it's the day after this, but the day before that. The day after a prayer gets prayed, but there is no answer on the way. The day after a soul gets crushed way down, but there's no promise of ever getting off the mat. It's a strange day, this in-between day, in between despair and joy, in between confusion and clarity, in between bad news and good news, in between darkness and light. Even the Bible says almost nothing about that day in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. Saturday is the day when nothing seems to happen. It's just one long hour upon another. Everybody knows Saturday. A loved one has died. There is deep sorrow and pain. Lots of activities surround the death, funeral preparations, family travels, many tears and the telling of stories. It's all a terrible Friday event. And then it is Saturday. Friends have returned to their families. Work resumes as it used to be. The world around you goes on as if nothing unusual has happened. And you realize that you are alone with your tears. God, where are you? When we are grieving, God can seem very distant. Friday is the day we receive a cancer diagnosis. It is a terrifying day. But then Saturday comes. We undergo unending treatments, frequent doctor's appointments, days of not feeling well. It's Saturday. We wake up and we still have cancer. We pray for healing, and God seems to be silent. We are discouraged, depressed. The Saturdays go on and on. Saturday is the day your dream dies. Saturday is the day you have to accept that despite all the counseling, your marriage will not last. Saturday is the day after you have lost your job and you have been sending out resume after resume with never a reply in return. Saturday is often described in the Bible as the desert experience. Moses and the Israelites wandered in the lonely desert for 40 years, waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. David had to hide out in the desert while King Saul was trying to kill him and prevent him from becoming the king that God had anointed. Following his baptism, Jesus was driven out into the desert for 40 days where he was being tempted to take and use the power that only belonged to God. Saints throughout the ages have written about their experiences of a spiritual desert. In the Bible, water, streams, oases, rivers are depicted as images of God's presence and blessing, whereas the desert or the wilderness is where water is scarce, where a traveler walks alone in the heat and the cold without protection, and where God feels far away, distant, absent even, and unresponsive. What has happened to all God's promises? Is there any hope? In Jesus' crucifixion, we actually find our hope. Friday comes to an end. Saturday does not last forever. And indeed, Sunday is coming. In a recent Guidepost magazine, a director of drama told the story of his use of Greek tragedies to produce plays that have brought hope to those serving in combat in the military. Going to war-torn countries and presenting the darkness and sadness of Greek tragedies, the soldiers were able to see and face the reality of the losses that they were experiencing. And facing them with conversation began to bring them healing. When asked to produce a play for Joplin, Missouri, after the 2011 tornado that killed 158 persons and destroyed large parts of the community, this playwright used the biblical book of Job to bring comfort and hope. Now, Job certainly had a desert experience, as all his children were killed, and he lost all his animals and his wealth, and then he was struck with painful diseases. On top of it all, his friends blamed him for his troubles. Job did what we want to do when we are in those bad places. He pleaded for answers. He demanded that God speak to him. And at long last, God finally responds. In the book of Beauty of Poetry, the Bible tells of God's response to each of us who tries to understand the Almighty. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who shut in the sea and prescribed the bounds for it? Have you commanded the morning since your day began? Where is the way to the dwelling of light? God describes all the wonders of creation and of life itself, and Job realizes his only response can be, I have uttered what I did not know. Things too wonderful for me. I had heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. It may seem strange to use the book of Job and its descriptions of terrible losses to bring mercy and healing to a community devastated by a tornado, and yet that is exactly what this playwright was able to do. He calls his dramas the theater of hope. Sometimes just having someone enter into our loss with us by being at our side can lead us out of the despair that threatens to overwhelm us. While I visited my grandchildren in Idaho a few weeks ago, we visited an air museum that had thousands of artifacts that soldiers who had served in World War II donated. While there, I viewed old broadcasts of Bob Hope's performances for soldiers overseas. I saw the joy brought to the faces of the soldiers fighting in dangerous foreign places, far from loved ones, and for a brief moment relieved of the fears of war, just because someone cared enough to be there with smiles and laughter and a bit of entertainment. And it struck me how appropriate was the name of the man who saw as his mission bringing hope that where there seemed to be so little. Bob Hope's first name was originally Leslie, but his surname really was Hope, and it was hope for the healing of emotions that he was able to bring in the midst of multiple wars during his 100 years living on this earth. Hope, that's the gift God gives us to endure living through a Saturday. We can learn something from the story of the Old Testament prophet Elijah about how to manage our lives during our wilderness experiences. Elijah was a faithful servant of the Lord, overcoming many obstacles as Israel turned their back on God. Elijah was the only prophet who had not yet been killed, but Jezebel was determined to destroy him as Elijah fled for his life. In the desert, he sat down, exhausted, fearful, and telling God, "I might as well die right now." Even after God had revealed his great power to Elijah, enabling him to do mighty acts of faith, he now felt helpless. He fell into a deep sleep till an angel awakened him with a touch and said, "Get up and eat." To his surprise, there next to his head was food and water. When we are living those terrible Saturday times, when we feel all alone and hopeless, the first thing we need to do is to care for our physical needs. Emotional energy drains us of physical energy. So the advice, friends, that friends often give us is important. Don't forget to eat. Get plenty of sleep. And get out and do something. It's true, food, water, and rest won't necessarily resolve a sense of alienation from God or disconnection from faith. But they can create conditions for a more hopeful engagement with those spiritual issues. And having a friend, an angel at your side, can be a great encouragement. After Elijah recovered his energy, he traveled for 40 days in the desert to talk to God. The Bible uses the number 40. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. The Hebrew people were in the desert 40 years to signify that growing in our relationship with God takes time. It's a process. Often it takes our wandering around before we experience the shift in our attitude that finally moves us out of that dreadful, lonely desert place. As Elijah tells his story to God over and over again about how betrayed he feels now that Jezebel is out to get him, we are reminded that God doesn't mind our complaints. God can take our disappointment and our anger, however we need to express it. But the promise of Scripture is that we will hear from God eventually. Hope will be restored. We are given the assurance of hope of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Finally, Elijah hears from God, not the same way that Job heard, but in ways that you and I need to be aware of. A great wind passed him by, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. And it was in the silence that Elijah was finally able to hear the Lord. It is in the silence of walking through the desert that the word of God is often heard. Although one may be traveling through a time of feeling scared, alone, maybe even betrayed by God, and life seems chaotic, miracles of the heart often happen there. Psalm 42 describes this experience so well. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. The wilderness journey is the place God builds our faith and our character as we journey there and begin to realize that God really, really does love us. After all, Charles Wesley would say in song, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? As we recognize God's unconditional love, we also begin to recognize God's gracious provision of manna. As the Israelites were given food to eat each day that they traveled through the 40-year desert, so God gives us the scriptures on which to feed as we begin to seek the answers we need. The more we look for answers in the Bible, the more our soul is nourished, and we begin to see our way out of the desert. Suddenly, these words take on new meaning. According to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the great good news. Jesus Christ is our hope. If you are living on a Saturday, remember this. Sunday is coming. The tomb is empty. Mary speaks to Jesus. Thomas touches the mark of nails in the Lord's hands. Jesus makes a seaside breakfast for his disciples. Life is new again. If it's Friday, hope promises good things. And if it's a long Saturday for you, be assured, Sunday is coming. Amen.